Kevin will catch us. Let's go ahead and get into the Word. And turn with me to Romans chapter 10. I want to start off declaring, I believe the Bible. I believe it's the inspired Word of God. Again, I was raised an atheist, more agnostic. My parents said, we don't believe in God. Someday you have to look for yourselves and determine whether you want to believe in God or not. I was raised with that mentality. The first time I was in churches, I was 17. I once at the age of 4 to an Easter party. All I remember was they were hunting eggs and I didn't find any. And I didn't go again until I was 17, and I went twice before I really got up into my 20s. Both were girlfriends. So I had an ulterior motive or motivation to get there. But when I got saved, my wife and I just got married, we got saved supernaturally. We visited a church, so they invited us. And we're both skeptics. So somebody came up operating in the gifts of the Spirit and called us out. A visiting minister called us out. And he had such knowledge of who we were, we knew God was speaking to us. Mm-hmm. And the anointing was there. The presence of God was there so strong, God let me know he was real. Yeah. We both went up and got saved the same night. July 1st, 1984. And a miracle happened in my life. Now, I've been serving the devil for 30 years. I was an alcoholic for 12 years. At least, we'll put it this way. I was an alcoholic. I was just drunk a lot, like 3 times a week. And doing drugs and running the bars. I have all these things of the world connected to me. And I receive Jesus. I said, God, I'm receiving you as my Lord. I really believe you're real now. I see it. I said, but I need help. I tried to get sober for years, couldn't. And I said, I need help. I need help with the alcohol. I need help with the drugs. I need help with the running around mentality that was there. And instantly it was gone. Instantly, I never wanted another drink, another drug, never wanted anybody but my wife. It was just gone.
Praise the Lord.
And for 41 years, almost 42, it stayed gone.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I'm not a recovering alcoholic. I'm a new creation in Christ. This is gone.
Amen.
And so God took all that away, and then he dropped in me. I thought this was a supernatural miracle.
Amen.
I knew that night this was God's word.
Yeah.
Everything written in this book. Jesus said, every punctuation mark, every letter is going to be fulfilled. He confirmed its inspiration. And everything in here is accurately recorded. And we may interpret it different. Follow me? I mean, there's only one true interpretation. We can see it differently, but what's in here is actually truth. And I knew this. And so I dedicated from then on my life to studying this book. I mean, my mom, she became a word widow. I was working for IBM at the time. I'd come home and I would spend hours and hours a night, all days on weekends, doing nothing but studying this book. Because God let me know he was in this book, and if I wanted to know him, I had to get the book. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I'm starting out this morning letting you know this is God's word. And you may not realize it yet, but if you want to know him, get in the book and find people that can truly interpret it for you. Because sometimes you're not going to understand it right away. In fact, I read the entire Bible fairly quickly. Cover to cover, I read the entire thing and hardly understood none of it. Hardly understood any of it. I don't know, double negative in there. Didn't understand hardly any of it. But the more I read it, the more understanding came. The more I came to listen to messages that were teaching the Word, the more it became real and alive and understandable. So it takes time to comprehend what's in this Bible. But when you do, it will change your life. Now it says in Romans chapter 10, are you there? Verse 8, this is Paul writing. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Let me stop right there. Lord Jesus. We're just going to let the Spirit of God move this morning. Highlight what He wants to highlight. So many people accept Jesus Christ as Savior. But really, there's a parallel to that Savior. He's got to be Lord. In other words, He's got to be able to direct your life. Not by rules and regulations, but by relationship. Because when you receive Jesus Christ, we'll see it in a minute, the Spirit of God comes inside of you to lead you in life.
Yes.
He will speak into you. You may not hear a voice, but you'll know what you're supposed to do. And of course, sometimes it may be a voice that says, take that shopping cart back. Pick up that piece of trash up that you dropped or somebody else dropped. That means it's God teaching you how to hear Him. And the more you practice that, the more you hear more accurately, and He can take you into a calling for your life. But the Spirit of God comes in and starts to guide you. Again, not by rules, but out of relationship. We're to endeavor, once we're saved, to know God. Think about it. The Creator of the heavens. He said, let there be, and He spread out His hand, and He created all the stars. I mean, as immense as the universe as He created it all. I say, let there be, out of faith. The same one that's put everything in place over time, that's allowed this system on earth we have of life to continue, all created by God. The very DNA of man and all life created by God. And He says, my highlight of everything I've created, my purpose of all of it, was to raise up a man that would be my friend. Think about it. To raise up a person that would be my best friend. The angels aren't qualified. Do you follow me? The cherubim around the throne of God aren't qualified. But He says, I'm going to raise up a man with a free will that can choose to accept me or not, choose to pursue me or not, and I'm going to make him my best friend. In fact, the Word of God says that the church that will press in, not the whole church, but the church that will press in, will become the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
In fact, it says from Revelation 19, I believe it is, the bride has made herself ready, the wife of the Lamb. A church will choose to pursue God, choose to know Him. He's calling you His bride. Now listen, I have many friends on the earth. Of course, a few people don't like me as well, but never mind that. My best friend is my wife. You follow me? In fact, God said in the Word, when a husband and wife come together, the two shall become one flesh.
Yes.
There becomes a uniting of souls, they become one. And Jesus said this in John 17. He said, I'm going to give them this word. The words He told the apostles that you speak. Whoever reads and believes these words, I'm going to cause them to become one with one another and with God. And He says this, they will become one with you like Father, you and I are one. Now God's a triune being. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus made in this amazing statement, this man that you created, that I've come and I'm going to die for, He prophesied it, they will become one with you, Father, as much as you and I are one. That's best friend status. That's love of God status. In fact, it says in Scriptures to love your wife, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And if you're married, your goal should be, what can I do to bless my wife? Not to control them. Not to harass them. Although some harassment is kind of good for the marriage. That's my excuse. I'm sticking with it. Teasing or whatever. But I'm to live with a target of blessing my wife. Amen.
Amen.
And finally got an amen out of you. And she loves motorcycle parts in the living room. And Jesus said, I want my bride, those who will press them to have that same relationship, so that they can know the Father. It's not about some rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. You got to be miserable. I can never have fun again. No, it's out of a relationship where God will bless your life beyond what you can comprehend.
Yeah.
And I must say, for 40, almost 42 years, I've never had a day I was bored. Because God's always opening up doors of opportunity to keep your life exciting. Amen?
Amen.
Of course, what could be more exciting than the life of faith that you're believing God for whatever you need, sometimes for desperate situations. And so, let's read verse 9 again. That thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, not just Savior, but Lord, out of relationship. And shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So he says, if you believe and confess, you can have salvation. Thank you, God. There's nothing more important ever in your life than to receive Jesus Christ. Nothing. Because it is the difference between heaven and hell. But again, I'm not trying to scare you into the kingdom, but letting you know that there's so much blessing on the other side of the cross.
Yes.
Now, assuming I get far enough and don't ramble too much, take too many bunny trails, I like to make this comparison. Because see, once you're saved, you become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And you have rights to heaven's blessings. And I want to call this pulpit, we're going to call this the cross. Here's the cross Jesus gave his life for, and here's you coming to the cross. Now before, over here, you were in the world. Not from this side of the sanctuary, but this side of the pulpit. You were in the world. And you were limited to human ability. Over here is man's ability, and man does great things. You follow me? I mean, the bridges we built, airplanes we built, great things. But over here is the limitation of human ability, human reasoning. Over here is also the realm of the curse. Over here is the realm of sickness, pain, disease, division, oppression, lack. It's also the realm of witchcraft, of the demonic. See, Satan operates in this realm of the natural world. And he's operating with, how can I say, stolen authority. He's controlling people and minds and systems out of this realm. And people learn that I can get born again out of this realm. And they come to the cross, they say, Jesus, I believe you, Lord and Savior. I receive you as my Savior. And they have the greatest miracle they'll ever know. They get born again. And God takes out their heart of sin, their heart of selfishness, and puts in them a heart of love, a heart of giving, a heart of compassion. They're radically, miraculously changed, but because of a lack of knowledge. Scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Yes.
Ignorance. They come to the cross, they get changed, but they don't know they can go further, and they go right back to the world system living out of it. And as a Christian living, just trying to be a better person, trying to be nicer, trying to be considerate, maybe, but still limited to human ability. Y'all straighten up over here. My wife is number one rabble rouser in this church. May God have mercy on her soul. They come back to this system still living under the influence of disease and pain and lack, the demonic bombardments that will lead them the wrong direction, subject to all the effects of the curse. And they live the rest of their life as a Christian, thinking the best they can do is try to smile, be nice, and do some good deeds. Now, praise God for good deeds. Praise God for being nice. Now, I've seen some people that radically changed by the cross that used to be mean that became sweet. You follow here? Considerate. Thank God for that. But God's plan was never, never, ever for us to get born again at the cross and go back to that realm. He's now I need you to proceed to learning how to live out of the kingdom of heaven by faith.
Yes.
It says in Colossians, as you receive the Lord, continue therein. And God says, now in Ephesians 2, he says, now you're a citizen of my kingdom. Now you're a son of God. You've been adopted into my system, my family. You have a right to go to this side of the cross, which we're going to call the kingdom of heaven. And so many people believe we don't get to experience the kingdom of heaven until we die and leave this body. Then we get our inheritance. Then we go to heaven. But that's not what Jesus taught. You read what he taught. He talked over and over again. He taught about the kingdom of heaven, about being on this earth, and what you could do with it. And he says, if you learn about my kingdom, you can go from the cross forward and live in the blessing,
yes,
not the curse. In fact, it says, Jesus, through the cross, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He made a curse for us. Amen. We've been redeemed from the curse. Why? So we can live out of the blessing. See, if you learn how it works, you can come to this realm over here where you can learn to be overcomers over sickness, pain, oppression, lack. Why? It's part of God's blessing to us. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus ever sick?
No.
Was he ever in lack?
No.
He could say, can you taste your gold in the mouth? And at his first birthday, the wise men, it was about the first birthday, the wise men showed up with frankincense, myrrh, and gold. And not just a few pieces, there was a caravan of riches they brought to him as a young child. Let's just put it this way. Jesus was a money magnet. He never lived in lack. Never lived oppressed. I can't find any place Jesus ever whined and cried about what he was going through. He lived in victory all the time. And why? He was out without sin. And he says, what I do, you can do also.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And the scriptures say over and over again, to emulate Christ, to follow after Christ, to do what Christ did. But you can't do it if you go from the cross back to the world. You've got to say, I learn how the kingdom operates. If you'll do that, you'll receive kingdom benefits. I got about 12 messages that want to hit me at one time. But if you don't know how something operates, you can't run it. We've had a few examples in this church trying to find switches that ran different things. There's a few things we still don't know what to do. These white things up in the circles, we don't know what they're for. They're not light sockets. We've already looked. So we're trying to find out yet what those do. I think they're part of the security system. If you don't know what it is, you can't use it. You don't know how it operates, you can't access it. We had our internet hooked up this week as well.
Yes.
And the exterminator coming in just to put a monthly pest control service in place for us. There's no pests now, except a few wasps. In fact, the exterminator could find no signs of any kind of invasion. No mouse stuff, no termites, no bugs, no nothing through the whole building. So we're doing a preventative steps. Because my wife doesn't like creepy crawlers. I don't remember where I was home before. What was I talking about?
Living out of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Not knowing what to do if you don't
know
what to do.
Yes. We got our internet stuff in the other day. And they'd asked me a few days before, do you want to self-install? I said, yes. And the box came in, this box over here somewhere, it's got moved.
In the office.
And I thought, I don't even know where to hook it. I don't know how to hook it. I don't know how to do any of this. I can barely run a lot of computers today. And I saw Charles. I said, Charles, I got a project for you. He had hooked up in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It would have taken me 2 days to get it figured out. If you don't know how to do something, you're not going to be able to get it done. I have been blessed over my life to learn how to do many trades, many different construction skills. And I've learned in every trade there are keys to doing that job. And if you don't know the keys, you're probably going to make a mess of things, right? Some things I don't even try to touch because I don't know how to do it well enough. And so any job, any trade, anything you have, there's keys to do it. If you learn to do those keys, you can get the results of it. The example I use often is biscuits. The because many wives can make biscuits. Most husbands like them. But if you want to make biscuits, you don't know what goes into them. How to cook them, how much to knead them. Roll the dough, how to, and see all the leaves going, I don't know how to make biscuits. All you do is you pop that thing on the counter, you pull them out. There's ingredients go into it. Now, I've asked questions, well, what ingredients go into biscuits? I've had everything from mayonnaise to mustard. And who makes their biscuits with mayonnaise? Nobody? Butter?
Yeah.
How about flour?
Butter, lard.
Anyway, if you don't know how to make them, you're going to get the wrong thing. In the same way, if you don't know how to operate out of the kingdom, you'll get the wrong thing. And Jesus came to teach us how we function out of this kingdom. And we'll do what he says, we'll get what he... And he came to deliver us from sickness, disease, lack, and oppression, fear. Amen, and even ill. Thank God for that. So he says, if you believe and confess, you have what you say. I'm trying not to go this direction, but I need to touch on it anyway. That's one of the main keys of the kingdom. If you'll believe what God promised in this book, because this is word, it's a promise book. This is actually a New Testament, Old Testament. How many understand when somebody dies, they have an inheritance, right? They have a last will and testament. This is actually Jesus' book of inheritance for us. Now let me ask you another question. Some of you probably received inheritances of the past. I got those stained glass windows. Well, my wife didn't. When you receive an inheritance, do you die or somebody else dies?
Somebody else dies.
So you don't die to receive an inheritance. What good is it going to do you?
Right.
And this is Jesus' last will and testament. An inheritance he left when he died to us.
Yes.
We don't have to die to receive it.
Right.
We just believe we receive it.
Yeah.
And the word says we'll believe what he promised and speak it out of our mouths, we can have it.
Yeah.
Including healing. Yeah. Including financial increase. Including winning in every situation.
Yeah.
But you got to believe it and speak it. Yeah. I don't believe all that. Well, if you look back at verse number 9, if you will believe and confess, you can be saved. And that's how the whole kingdom operates. Believing what he promised, speaking it out, standing on it. Amen.
Amen.
And we don't believe that part because we've not heard of all our lives like we heard about salvation. If you were raised in church or exposed to church or even watched TV very much, you heard about believing in Jesus and confessing to Savior. Heard it over and over and over again, so you believe it. And if you're saved, you got saved because you believe that verse, that promise. But you've not heard about healing all of your life. Or that he was made poor so we could be made rich all of your life. Hear about salvation, but not all the other promises. So you didn't hear about it, that faith arose that you would speak it out in faith and have it. So if you want to have what God promises in this inheritance, you want to have the promises of the kingdom, you got to spend some time building faith for those in your life. If you do that and speak them, you'll have it. Again, that was a bunny trail. But we get testimonies here all morning of people that learned this, did it, and seen the results. See, I'm trying to go on, and I'm not having any success right now. I need to give a couple examples. I learned about this promise in the 80s, late 80s. My pastor, Pastor Ron Callahan, was teaching this. And I said, I don't know about that. In fact, he started teaching about healing. He became my pastor in 1987. He was teaching about divine healing. That there was a promise in order to be healed. I've been taught all of my Christian walk. All 4 years. 3 years. that God was putting sickness on me to teach me a lesson. Who does that to their kids? You need to learn a lesson. Here's some sickness. But apparently, our loving God, people thought he was doing that. So he says, no, God wants you healed. So I went home. This is before I had computers with the Bible on it. I had my Strong Concordance. How many remember the Strong's Concordance? Combination Concordance and Doorstop. Big book. Every word in the Bible listed in there. And where it appeared. I got my Strong Concordance. I looked up at home. Every word in the Bible that dealt with healing, health, made whole. I looked them up. And I wrote them down in a spiral notebook. Every verse, the whole verse out. I'm going to see if this is true. You've said it. If it's true, I want it. And I've not heard this before. I started reading them over and over again. And I realized what he was teaching was true. God's promise healing.
Yeah.
By his stripes, you were healed. Amen. And it's all through the scriptures. God's healing power. And so I spent time reading and reading and reading those. Just confessing them over my life. In the meantime, I developed migraine headaches. I mean, they were from the pit of hell. They always hit me when something big was about to happen. You know, a big church service or a trip or whatever. And I'd get a migraine, and my mom would tell you they were horrible. I mean, doctors, I'll give you whatever you want for them. I'm trying not to do pain pills. I'm trying to believe God. And they put me down. I had to run everybody out of the house, my wife and kids, get in the bed, put pillows over my head, and have total quiet. Hope to fall asleep. And then I'd end up doing pain pills to knock myself out. Because when I woke up, it was usually gone. And this went on for several years. And we formed this ministry in 1992, February of 1992. And soon after, one of our family, we started off with 400 members. First service. And one of the families in the church decided to have a church cookout gathering. And I went, Patty and I went, and there was a big crowd there. I'm going to swear, y'all stick with me. And we get there, and a migraine hits me. I mean, a migraine hits me. And I've been trying to stand for healing on them. I'd speak the word, I would stand, I would stomp, walk, and they just weren't lifting. And I told my wife, I said, I've had enough of this. The Bible says I'm healed. And so I went out to our vehicle. It was a 1987. This was in 92. 1987 Chevy van, G20. And it had a steel dashboard with a piece of vinyl over it. No padding, just steel. Vinyl for color. And I went and sat in the passenger seat. I said, Patty, you stay here. I'm going to the van. I'm going to deal with this. This is going to sound crazy, but I'm about to get touched in that area anyway. Can't believe you, dog. I went to the van, and I said, devil, I'm not afraid of this pain. My head is just horrible hurting. I'm not afraid of this pain. And God says, I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. So watch this. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. And I took my head, and I slammed it on the dashboard as hard as I could. You're stupid. Well, sometimes I make some radical steps. So I sat back up. You know what happened? It hurt. Bad. I said, no, that's not it, devil. I'm not afraid of the pain. The Bible says Jesus took my pain, I'm healed, and I slammed my head again. And I kept setting up, and it would be there, and I'd say, no, I'm healed. And I do, and I'm on the moment trying to attack. I'm hitting as hard as I could. I said, either they're going to call an ambulance because I split my head wide open, or I'm getting rid of this migraine today. Because the Bible said I have a right to not have it. Didn't have it before, it was saved. Now I'm getting the migraines. This is the devil. I knew it was. I might have hit my head 20 times. I don't know how many times. And I hit it one more time. Set up and it was gone. No pain from the impact, no pain at all. I got up and went to the party. Totally delivered from that demon. See, I stood my ground on the word and he had to flee. Resist the devil, he'll flee. I went into the party and joined in. Here's the thing. That was in 1992. That was, what, 34 years ago? I've never had a migraine since.
Praise the Lord.
See, you get victory over something, it's got to stay gone.
Yes.
That was my last migraine. Can I continue?
Yes.
I'm trying to make the point that salvation is not supposed to stop at the cross. It's supposed to continue into the kingdom. So then I became pastor of the church here in Georgetown. We started this in May 2001, so this will be our 25th anniversary coming up in May. We should have a party. And I'm moving stuff in a building we end up buying over on the corner of Clayton Military, old Scotch Grocery. I may remember Scotch Grocery. Anybody? We bought that building, turned it into a church. This is probably about 2004, something like that. And I've had back issues for probably 20 years. That if I turned just wrong or something, my back would go out and I'd be down. And I'm lifting one of those big old projection TVs. And pow, my back. It felt like two discs flew out of my back. I'd never known pain like that. And I crawled to my car. Somehow I got home. I told my wife, Patty, I was lifting a big screen TV. My back was gotten injured. You know what her response was? Well, you shouldn't have been lifting that TV. Passion just oozed out of her right there. And I knew it was bad. I knew it was surgery level bad. And so I sat on the couch. And back then I had a 12 cassette tape set of healing tapes by Pastor Calvin. 12 tapes, an hour and a half each on divine healing. And I had a little cassette player. I sat on the couch and put in a tape and I'd play it. And once it finished playing, I would stand up. Say, I'm healed. My back is hurting. The devil screamed at me the whole time. You better get an ambulance over here. You're going to be paralyzed for life. You need surgery right away. They're going to fuse discs together. If you try to stand up, it's going to be, you'll snap your spinal cord. I heard all kinds of stuff. And I stand up and I walk or stomp around the room. I'm healed. Go a circle around and collapse on the couch. Nothing changed. I put another tape in. I did it for 3 days. For 3 days, I didn't leave that couch. I finally, fall asleep at night, setting up. Next day, put another tape in. After 3 days, I put another tape in. It finished. I'm building my faith for healing. I'm just fueling with promise and words of healing. And the third day, I finished a tape. And I went to stand up, and I did stand up, and the Lord said, now jump. Jump? It took everything I had to stand up. This thing's not any different than it was 3 days ago. Am I warning you guys? He said, jump. I said, okay, God. I just heard it. I jumped up, and to make sure I jumped right, I locked my knees and came down as hard as I could. Pow! And I did. Had a brand new back.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Now that's 30 or 22 years ago. Have you guys seen me having, do you remember this?
I remember it. You were leaning. This was, I think, before that happened, when you had leaned on the pole because you had so much back issue. Yeah, I do.
Have I had any problem lifting anything in all this construction?
No.
I haven't had a big back issue in 22 years. Nothing. Why? There's a promise we can tap into by believing and speaking. And you may not be willing to be that radical, but I was willing to test the promise. And if we'll learn how the kingdom operates, we can move into that area of blessing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Now let me touch on a couple more verses very quickly. Turn to 2 Corinthians. This is a monumental day. And you think, well, you're just radical. No. Who here has tapped into miracle manifestations of the Word of God in the past. Karen's got testimony upon testimony. Lift your hand so somebody can see something. Robert, lift your hand. I know your testimony. Miracles. Karen may not even be alive today if not for the miracle power of God did her over the past 9 years. A dead kidney coming back to life. When they said it was dying, reversing course. Thank you, Jesus. This word. So it says in verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, talking about Jesus, Father God made Jesus, to be sin for us. On the cross, Jesus became a sinner. That's hard to believe, isn't it? The Bible says whoever's nailed to a tree is cursed of God.
Thank you.
On the cross, Jesus was made a sinner. That's why the Father, he said, Father, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Father God had to turn his back upon Jesus for the first time ever. He was made a sinner. It says that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. By receiving Jesus, God does the greatest miracle you'll ever know. He comes inside of you and takes out the heart of sin, the heart of selfishness, the heart of me, puts you in the heart of righteousness, the heart of love, the heart of God. And when you're born again, I'm about to say something. Listen to what I'm about to say. When you get born again, you become just as righteous internally as Jesus himself.
Yes.
Now, you still have residue of sin in your mind. You still have the remembrance of what you did and maybe even how you enjoyed it. Even inclinations of the flesh to redo some things. But internally, God changed you because you're trying to enjoy your spirit, soul, and body. He changed your nature to be just like Jesus. If it wasn't, you couldn't get to heaven. If it wasn't, if you were just righteous as Jesus, the Spirit of God couldn't come inside of you to be a habitation. And now you're a new creation. And you will spend the rest of your life finding out just what happened at that moment in time when you got born again. Because it's more amazing and miraculous than anything you'll ever know. Thank you, Lord God. It says in verse 17, if any man be in Christ, that's those that are born again, he is a new creature. I think creation is a better term. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. You're not who you used to be. God has rebirthed you in his own image. Wow. The creator of the heavens said, I'm making you be just like me internally. Now what your assignment is to get in this book and reprogram your thinking, your soul. Renew your mind to the Word so you can function in the same power Jesus walked in.
Yes.
Look at John chapter 14. We'll close with this verse. We'll close this text with the verse. First close. John chapter 14. Is that right? Verse 12, Jesus said, the works that I do, you do also. He says, we can do what he did. Not when we get to heaven, but now. Yeah. And he says, and greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father.
Amen.
He said, we can do greater than he did. How? Well, for one, there's more of us. The body can do more than the head did himself. And we have more time. Jesus' ministry is believed to be only about 3.5 years. We've got lifetimes to function in the power. Not to mention internet, TV, sound systems, and everything else. One person on the radio or television will reach more people at a time than Jesus ever thought could have ever done. But he said the anointings are function and the power of function and the promise of function. You can do it. Why? You've been made a new creation. You're made in my image. Learn who you are now. step into that opportunity, and you can function in my power and blessing.
Amen.
Amen. And be part of my family. Yeah, be part of my bride. What an honor, what an opportunity to walk like this. And again, so many people get saved, they come to the cross, they go back to living like they did before. And part of my goal as a pastor is to tell people, you can go past. You can go deeper. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I'll come in and what's up. We can go as deep into the kingdom as we want to go. It's our choice. We have free will. Or you can go back to living like you did before. But I'm telling you, it's a dead end road.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Go very through that. Did you get anything out of this morning?
Yes. Amen.
I need to speak a blessing over here that Karen always demands that I speak. I declare in this church, there are none sick. We speak it out. None sick.
None sick.
None in pain.
None in pain.
None oppressed, no suicide, no oppression, no fear. No despair. And there's no lack. No lack of finances, no lack of lodging, food, whatever we need. Resources, friendships, connections. We believe we receive. No lack. There's no strife. We decree in this church there's no division, no envy, no jealousy, no jockeying for position. No wanting to be seen. We're here to serve God out of a pure heart. We are a church of extreme compassion.
Amen.
We walk in the love of God. We declare it.
Yes.
Amen. We believe it and receive it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.